When American soldiers die in Iraq, their personal belongings must be returned to their families. Eric Kneeler visited Aberdeen, Maryland, where a special Army unit sorts treasured belongings and ships them back home.
Linda Fallstitch's home in the piney woods outside Leonardtown, Maryland, is quiet on a rainy afternoon. It's been this way since her son died on August 5th. He was driving a truck through Najaf, Iraq.
He was shot as he was traveling through the town. With one shot under his arm through the door. And he said, "Oh, I'm hit," you know. And then he drove on for another mile before he collapsed to get everybody out of the kill zone so he could save the rest of them.
Ray Fallstitch Jr. was a 24-year-old Army specialist and had only been in Iraq for 6 weeks. 2 months after his funeral, an Army officer knocked on the family's door. Inside his car were two cardboard boxes and a 10-speed bicycle that Ray used to pedal around the base in Iraq. There were also these souvenirs.
This is one of the things. He bought three of these from me and his dad and his brother. It's just a little carved wooden camel. And then he bought two of these. It says Iraq. And it's a little stuffed camel.
She keeps these camels in her living room, along with her doll collection and a large photo of her son. Upstairs, tucked in a drawer, are Ray Jr.'s clothes from Iraq. His last name is stitched in bold letters across his shirt pocket. There's also a very important pillow.
This is his summer uniform that we have. His pants and his shirt. And then here's the pillow. Little camouflage pillow. This is the one thing that you can actually smell. Everything just smells of laundry in Iraq, but this didn't, and you can smell them, you know.
After Ray died, his platoon leader gathered up his things in a duffel bag and put them on a truck. Those items traveled from Najaf to Kuwait to Germany and finally to the Army's Joint Personal Effects Depot. Lieutenant Colonel Andrew Williams commands the detachment, which is based in two old wooden buildings at the Aberdeen Proving Ground north of Baltimore.
We've got three processing stations, as you see with the three photograph areas, the wash area over here.
Inside the basketball court-sized warehouse are several dozen workers, all wearing surgical gloves as they sift through thousands of objects. These are mortuary affairs officers. Lieutenant Colonel Williams is a deputy sheriff and an Army reservist from Florida. He says he's doubled his staff to 95 people recently. Belongings are arranged on long tables. Each person's stuff is kept separate. There are neatly folded rows of Army clothes and a few Kevlar helmets. There are also books, pads, pens, CDs, video games, and even toy cars.
Tower Robot, another big fan. The remote controls over here again that goes with the car.
Across the room is the jewelry table. Fancy watches, bracelets, and religious medallions with no owners. These things were collected in the aftermath of street battles and helicopter crashes, incidents where more than one person was killed.
That is some of the jewelry that what we consider is unidentifiable. We're going to hold on to them. We continue to do research through some way, through a family member coming up. Then we try to do the match.
Everything is cataloged with precision and bureaucratic efficiency. But then along comes a teddy bear that some little boy or girl sent to a parent serving in Iraq. Williams says these items make everyone pause.
Those are what we consider very, very important. The sentiment is there. The sentiment is definitely there when we see items like that.
At one table, civilian Lamont Hill sorts through Halloween cards sent to a Marine recently killed in Fallujah. For Hill, it's the photographs that make him stop and think.
Seeing pictures of, you know, somebody's kids, you know, you realize that they're never going to see them again. It sort of, it saddens you a little. And then, I mean, it's just right back to work.
Hill and others try to ignore these objects and the feelings they trigger. But Lieutenant Colonel Williams says that's nearly impossible.
Over time, you kind of have to block it out. It gets to you. You do lose sleep. You think about the pictures and stuff that you see and some of the items that you do see that probably, or knowing for a fact, it meant a lot to that fallen service member.
Williams says he's proud of his team's professionalism and dedication. This work ethic has been tested as the volume of belongings sent over from Iraq gets bigger every week. In the past year, 4 workers have left because of the stress. Now, a chaplain often visits the unit at lunchtime. For NPR News, I'm Eric Kneeler.